Ignition sequence start.
See, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three, hit it!
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer.
Yes! Paul touch it up!
Thompson steps right, shoots for the win, a three, he got it!
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
F5 season is here and it is in full swing. The dominoes will start falling shortly, the Woj bombs will start dropping, and everybody will start panicking. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can find me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. You can also find the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And hey, if you enjoy what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, subscribe to us, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, all the different applications that you listen to your podcasts on. If you could subscribe to us, maybe leave us a review if you've got the time. I do read those. They mean a lot to me. And hey, if you've also got the time, leave some stars. It looks good. I appreciate it. Clint Capella's name is in the rumor mill, and it is churning out a lot of content these days. Clint Capella has been tied to multiple trade rumors, largely associated with the Atlanta Hawks and the Boston Celtics most recently. Rockets are essentially looking to deal Capella and in return get back a serviceable wing, an impactful wing-type player, as well as a center to basically not match the production of Capella, because you're not going to send Capella out and get a guy back who provides you the same amount of production, but get back a serviceable center who can give you maybe what, you know, half of what Capella gives you. Ideally, that's the ideal trade scenario, is you get back a really good wing type player, a 3-and-D guy like maybe Robert Covington, a guy like that. And then you also get back a center who can maybe even ideally stretch the floor, somebody who can still play five-out basketball, but somebody that you can play for roughly 20 to 25 minutes a game, where you're not going to be playing the under 6-6 lineup, in which the Rockets are actually 3-0. Now, as far as the Clint Capella rumors go, we're going to be hearing from Brad Rowland of the Locked On Hawks podcast, as well as John Corrales of the Locked On Celtics podcast, to get a bit of a taste of how things look from the Hawks and Celtics point of views as far as a Clint Capella trade is concerned. But before we get to those, I just want to chime in. You know, obviously, look, we love Capella here in Houston. For what he provides to this team, he is everything that you want out of a five in this Rockets offense. He spaces the floor vertically. He is a rim-running big. He plays great defense when healthy. He is your defensive anchor at times. He's got the best engine of any big in the NBA, of any true center in the NBA. He runs the court like nobody's business. Catches lobs, great hands, doesn't always have to dunk the ball, has a variety of these, you know, reverse layup spin moves that he can, you know, make work around the basket if he can't exactly yam it home over somebody. But for all that, he doesn't really have his own offensive game, right? And for a guy that you're paying $15 million a year, who cannot generate his own shot, and whose only job is to rebound the basketball, play good defense in the paint, and catch the occasional lob, and set really good screens. That's another important aspect of this Rockets offense, is Clint Capella sets really great screens for Westbrook, for Harden, and for other players. But past that, to pay a guy $15 million a year just to do that, it's kind of a lot. So the Rockets are trying to move Capella, not just because they want to get under the luxury tax, but because there's a legitimate case to be made that they can improve the team, and Capella's really the only legitimate trade chip that they have. They don't have anybody else. Daniel House isn't really a legitimate trade chip. They do have their own first-round draft picks in 2020 as well as 2022 that they can move, but that's not a lot. So Capella really is the one trade chip that you have to try and trade to a team, recoup some assets, and then flip those assets into impactful players so that you can still be in win now mode. And a couple of those teams, I already mentioned them, the Atlanta Hawks and the Boston Celtics, both strongly rumored to be in discussion with the Rockets. They are engaged in talks with the Rockets surrounding Clint Capela. So first we'll hear from Brad Rowland of the Locked on Hawks podcast, and then we'll get to John Corrales in the next segment. So we'll get to Brad right here, right now.
This is Brad Rowland from the Locked on Hawks podcast, live from State Farm Arena after the Hawks came together on a loss to the Boston Celtics. But I'm here to weigh in on the Clint Capela saga and all of the machinations and rumblings happening there between the Hawks and the Rockets. Obviously, Capela is in high demand around the league, and with good reason, as a quality starting center. And the Hawks have been in the market for a center like Capela for quite some time now. Atlanta's biggest need right now is a center of that ilk. And I do think that he is attracted to the Hawks on a number of levels, one of which being that he's under contract for multiple seasons. The Hawks are definitely in the middle of a rebuild right now, so they have incentive to go out and get a guy who is relatively young and Capela, and also cost-controlled moving forward. As far as the assets going back to Houston, that'd be pretty interesting to see what a deal would look like. I think a three-team deal probably is the most likely and probably that makes the most sense between the two teams, but there are a couple of two-team machinations that could work out. The Hawks have a larger expiring contract in Evan Turner that could match up with Capela. On the flip side, though, the Rockets probably don't want to add money to their books, and Turner makes about $3.5 million more than Capela does, which could be a red flag. On the other side, the Hawks have a couple of mid-tier salaries that could aggregate together to get to Capella's salary for matching purposes. That would be Alex Len and also Jabari Parker. Those two guys are both quality-ish rotation players when they are healthy. Both guys are battling injuries right now, but could help the Rockets, and of course, they would not be necessarily the centerpiece of the deal, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to have a couple of guys who could play for Houston or someone else if they were to be flipped in the next couple of days. The Hawks do have picks to trade, as well as young players. I don't think, at least at this point in time, that I would project the Hawks to include any of their five core pieces in a deal for Capela. It wouldn't blow me away if they did, but I think projecting-wise, from this side of the aisle, I think John Collins, obviously Trae Young would be off the table, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, and Kevin Huerter are unlikely to be traded in a deal for Capela. With that said, the Hawks do have a mid-first-round pick from Brooklyn coming this season. It's probably going to be in the top 16. Not an elite pick, but certainly a nice one, and one of the better ones that's going to be available probably before the deadline. The Hawks also have Bruno Fernando, who was a high second-round pick last year, who has had some nice flashes. He'd be more of a throw-in slash sweetener, but certainly someone who could have some value and some appeal to another team, if not for the Rockets. So I think ideally for both sides, there is a match somewhere involved. It probably will take three teams if you want to go through all of what would happen there. And of course, Houston doesn't really want what the Hawks have to present in terms of current assets, but the future-facing ones, draft picks, etc., the Hawks would likely be willing to include, and that could lead them down the path over the next couple of days to a deal that makes sense for both sides. So ultimately, not a perfect match in terms of everything involved, but the Hawks do have the weapons to go ahead and get Capela if they want to do that, especially if Houston is looking to switch those assets into other assets, which means more I guess current-facing assets more so than future-facing. So we will see if the two sides can come together on a deal, but Atlanta seems interested. I can confirm that kind of interest on their side, and definitely looking for a center in the coming days. Whereas Houston, there is a match somewhere along the lines with Atlanta, and the Hawks have the crisp flexibility of having a little bit of cap room. Actually, they're the only team in the NBA right now that has cap room. So if a three-team deal came into play, there's a little bit of extra flexibility that the Hawks could utilize, and that is worth pointing out as well. Thank you for listening to the pod, and here you go, back to Locked on Rockets.
Appreciate Brad taking his time to kind of share some of his thoughts and some of the Atlanta Hawks angles behind the Clint Capela rumors, so to speak. And here's my thing, right? And it was reported by The Ringer that apparently there was a deal that did fall through that would have landed Clint Capela in Atlanta. Basically, the biggest domino that has yet to fall so far for this NBA trade deadline is D'Angelo Russell. The Minnesota Timberwolves have not made it a secret that they are aggressively pursuing D'Angelo Russell. And so here's the thing, is they had a deal in place that fell through that would have sent Robert Covington to Houston, Clint Capela to Atlanta, and the 2020 Brooklyn first-round pick that Atlanta owns goes to Minnesota. Essentially, that was the building block of the deal, and then Minnesota would, all you know, afterwards flip those assets into D'Angelo Russell. However, it appears that the Golden State Warriors are playing hardball and have decided that they wanted to decline the original Minnesota offer, which did have the Brooklyn first-round draft pick through Atlanta, as well as Minnesota's own first-round draft pick in 2020. So the three-way trade talks between the T-Wolves, the Hawks, and the Rockets were placed on hold. So this is frustrating because this would have landed Capella in Atlanta. This would have net the Rockets the impactful wing that they wanted, and it would have done this without the Rockets actually giving up either of their first-round draft picks, which you could then use in a move to facilitate for another decent five who can maybe ideally stretch the floor or just kind of clog up the paint a little bit so that you do have a legitimate five back there on the bench that you can go to at times when needed. So this is a bit frustrating because there's already all these talks going on, and it seems like right now the holdup is built around D'Angelo Russell. But Robert Covington isn't the only 3-and-D player out there that's available on the market. So the D'Angelo Russell holdup may not impact the Rockets for long if they decide to go an alternative route and stop pursuing Robert Covington. So we'll hear more about the Boston Celtics angle of things here in just one moment, so don't go anywhere. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, talking about the Rockets and the trade market right now, the rumors swirling around Clint Capella and how this affects the Rockets, what they may or may not do, and the teams that are strongly involved right now in these trade talks. So mentioned it at the top, and we just heard it in the first segment, Brad Rowland from the Locked On Hawks podcast giving his point of view from the Hawks angle on how they're kind of viewing the Clint Capella trade discussions, not really seeming like he thinks that they're going to give up any of the top five young guys, so maybe no John Collins in the Rockets' future. I'm pretty high on Collins as a guy who, again, can still kind of space the floor vertically, kind of like Capella does, is a bit more undersized, is more of a traditional power forward than he really would be a center. But again, he spaces the floor for you, not just vertically, but he also provides a guy who can actually hit some shots from behind the three-point arc. So while Brad did say that he doesn't really believe that the Hawks would move John Collins, there have been a number of reports that have said that if the Hawks do go after Clint Capella, that John Collins is likely gone. Now, does that mean he's gone to the Rockets or to a third team? It remains to be seen because so many of these rumors have involved multi-team trade deals. It's not just been a one-for-one, like just the Hawks and the Rockets or the Rockets and the Celtics. Most of these hypotheticals involve multiple teams so that everybody gets exactly what they want. So again, I don't think the Hawks are really trying to move any of their young core other than maybe John Collins. And again, Capella would be a great fit next to Trae Young, but it depends on what the Rockets can get back. Now, if the Rockets can get the draft capital they need from Atlanta and then flip that into the actual players they want to make the playoff push that they want to do this year, then that makes a lot of sense on the Rockets side of things. Again, I like the idea of John Collins in a Rockets jersey. If he wound up here in place of Clint Capella without giving up too much else, I wouldn't be distraught. I'd be pretty happy about that deal. But I don't know if you can actually give up Capella and get back Collins and get an impactful wing player without giving away both your first-round draft picks and having to somehow convince the third team to get involved to still get that wing player. And at that point, I don't know what the third team is getting other than maybe picks to make things worthwhile for them. But another team that has been heavily rumored and heavily tied to the Clint Capella trade saga are the Boston Celtics, and so we'll hear from John Corrales of Locked On Celtics right now.
John Corrales here from Locked On Celtics. This Clint Capella stuff is really interesting from a Boston perspective because in a vacuum, yeah, I would love to have Clint Capella on this team. I would love to have Clint Capella start maybe instead of Enes Kanter or Daniel Tice, and he just brings so much to an offense with his rim running. We all know what he can do. The question from a Boston perspective, and the question for a trade like this is, what do you give up? What do you get back? And where's the value for both teams? The Celtics are just not going to give up Marcus Smart. They're not going to give up any of their core pieces. They can't give up Jaylen Brown because of his contract extension. So you're certainly not going to get Jason Tatum, and Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward are out of the question as well. So without any of those guys, what's Houston looking for? Is Houston looking for the draft picks? Is that Memphis pick, which even if they fall behind and aren't going to continue the pace that they're playing at or they've been playing at, that pick is probably going to convey, and it's probably going to be somewhere outside of the top 10 or around 10, wherever it falls, not quite as valuable as it was before. The Celtics also have their own pick. They have the Milwaukee pick. So their picks aren't exactly big lottery picks, but that's okay because I don't think Clint Capella in this market is getting you big lottery picks. So a team like Houston that gave away a bunch of its picks in the Russell Westbrook trade, would a package of players that they may not really normally want attached to draft picks, is that enticing enough? Is a Daniel Tice, Enes Kanter, and Carson Edwards type of deal, which works financially, is that palatable for Houston? That's really going to be the most interesting question. And the Celtics can do that because if Robert Williams is healthy, then they get Capella and a guy that was comped with Capella. Like he's a Capella type of player. If Robert Williams can get healthy, then you've got 48 minutes of the same type of rim running pressure from both guys. What you lose in Daniel Tice is a guy who can stretch the floor. And I'm sure the Houston Rockets would love a guy who can stretch the floor. Frankly, this is where the value is kind of in play. And I don't know if Rockets fans can appreciate what Daniel Tice has been doing for the Boston Celtics, but he's certainly not the rim runner that Capella is, but he can stretch the floor and he can hit threes and he can put some pressure on you. And he's been at the top of the league in blocks and block percentage. I mean, it's dipped a bit recently, but he's been pretty good defensively. He's been pretty good for the Celtics. And I don't know if the Celtics are willing to give up all of those things for an upgrade that's not hugely significant. We all love Capella, but how much is that upgrade? And if the Celtics feel like that upgrade is big and they're willing to give up a couple of those picks with that package, then sure, fine. Is Houston willing to do that deal? I have questions about that. But the question is, what are you going to get? What kind of draft picks are you going to get for Capella? So, yeah, I'd love to have Capella. And my biggest hangup is, are the Celtics going to give up too much? Where does that limit the Celtics' chemistry? Does that take away from the Celtics' depth at big man? Because if Capella goes down and if Robert Williams isn't quite healthy, then an already dicey Celtics situation gets a little bit more dicey, because then they have to really rely on Grant Williams, a rookie who's undersized, to go out there and play a lot of center minutes. So it's a complicated thing. The money's complicated. The fit is complicated. What works for both teams is complicated. There's no real easy answer. And so that really leaves the Celtics in a bit of a bind. I'm not 100% sold on a Capella to Boston deal getting done. I'm not 100% sold on if it does get done, how much it really, really helps the Celtics. But we'll just have to keep an eye on it.
Now, a name that John didn't throw out there was Semi Ojeleye. I think that he could be a guy that the Rockets could really look at and really seriously consider if they're actually looking at making this trade, moving Capella to the Boston Celtics, and getting back a guy like Daniel Tice, Tice wouldn't be your starting center. He just wouldn't. In fact, honestly, if Capella is moved, I strongly suspect that PJ Tucker will likely be the Rockets' official starting center, quote unquote, for the remainder of the season. Unless they get back a legitimate guy who can play five out basketball in a type of Capella trade like a John Collins type guy, I don't think that they're going to move away from PJ Tucker starting at the five spot. Now, I do think that they need a guy coming off the bench who can be a legitimate big, like 6'10 and up. Daniel Tice is also not that, but what he is he's a guy that can, play some minutes, be a little bit bigger than the rest of the Rockets roster. He's 6'8", So he's about the same, you know, size as one of the Morris twins. Doesn't space the floor quite as well as they do. He's only shooting about 30% on the year from behind the arc. But again, as John was saying, he's a guy that can, you know, hustle on defense, can be a legitimate impact player. So if you're talking about potentially Daniel Theis, maybe Enes Kanter, and then maybe Semi Ojeleye from the Celtics, as well as maybe a draft pick for Clint Capella. Now, is that too much for the Celtics to give up just for Clint Capella? I mean, I don't know. It gets them a starting center, right? But then, as John mentioned, if Clint Capella continues to have his injury issues, if the heel bothers him further down the line, then this suddenly already, you know, thin Celtics team gets even more thin in the front court. So there's concerns there, definitely. But Semi Ojeleye is a name that I'm very interested in. He's a guy, he's shooting almost 37% from behind the arc. Not many attempts a game, just, you know, shooting 1.5 threes a game. But he's a guy that maybe with some increased minutes, some increased burn, can actually have an impact. He's only playing about 15 minutes a game for the Celtics. But I really like him. I liked him last year, was really interested in him this past summer as a potential Houston Rocket. So there's a name to look out for. Now, we'll get to our final segment here in just one moment where I'm just going to go completely off the reservation, throw out some hypothetical trades, see what sticks, kind of like throwing spaghetti to a wall. And we'll get there in just one second. But first, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all of the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But what you may not know is that Locked On Rockets is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Houston Rockets fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. So if your company wants to connect with Houston Rockets fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love supporting local businesses. So you can text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. So here we go. Let's get all of our ducks in a row really quickly before we dive into these hypotheticals. So what do we know? We know that Clint Capella has struggled with a nagging heel injury, which has actually, as reported by Kelly Eco, been diagnosed as plantar fasciitis. So I wanted to bury that in here just in case any potential trade suitors are listening to this Locked On Rockets podcast. No, the news is out there. Clint has plantar fasciitis. So it's not going to get better anytime this season. Now, if you can deal Clint, which teams know that he's got this, but if you can rest up Clint, if you can, you know, get him some time off and then get him back on the court, he's still going to provide you a decent level of production. Teams that are looking to pick up Clint Capella aren't necessarily looking to be exclusively in win now mode. The Celtics, obviously, they're in the playoff hunt right now. They're looking to make some noise. But are they exclusively in win now mode? No, they have a young core. They've got a window for the next 4 to 5 years to try and win, and Clint Capella matches that window. Same thing for the Atlanta Hawks. They're a team that is young, that is on the rise. I can't even say on the rise because, let's face it, they've been really bad this year. But they're a team that ideally will be on the rise in the coming years, and Clint Capella matches that timeline. So do they need Clint Capella healthy this season necessarily? No. Will you still get a 70 to 80% version of Clint Capella if you do trade for him this year? Absolutely. So there's that. So we've got that on the table. Past that, in the Ringer article that was published by Kevin O'Connor, he did throw out a name that I found very interesting, which was the Phoenix Suns' Aaron Baines. Aaron Baines is a guy who earlier this year I thought, wow, how did the Rockets not somehow make a play for this guy? He does everything that would look great in a Rockets jersey. He spaces the floor at about a 33% clip. He's a big dude. He hustles. He doesn't necessarily play above the rim, but he's a guy who will take a number of charges during a game. He's like an actual bigger version of PJ Tucker almost when you think about it. So Aaron Baines was a guy that as soon as I saw that name in the Ringer article, I thought, wow, that's a guy that I could really get behind having in a Houston jersey. And so having his name in there means a lot. Kevin O'Connor isn't necessarily as plugged in as Adrian Wojnarowski or Shams, obviously, but what he says carries some weight. So if he puts it in an article, chances are there's a legitimate chance that it happens, or at least that it's being talked about, which is important because he's very plugged into certain NBA circles. Also included in this Ringer article was a little blurb that apparently the Rockets already offered Clint Capella to the Nets for a package that included Jarrett Allen and Torian Prince, which Brooklyn promptly declined. So we've got Aron Baynes as a possibility. Obviously, the Robert Covington stuff has been on again, off again all season. Clint with plantar fasciitis. So where do we go from here? I believe the main goal is flexibility. Flexibility is absolutely the main goal. The Rockets want to have a team that can essentially switch everything on defense, can play five out on offense, and ideally, you still want one guy sitting over there on the bench who has a little bit of size, maybe around 6'9", 6'10", who can guard some of the bigger bigs in the league. And if that guy can also remain and be a five-out option, so a guy who can still shoot the three ball a little bit, then that is, I think, where they're trending. I think that's what Mike D'Antoni is trying to implement. He likes the idea of keeping the floor wide open for James Harden and Russell Westbrook. And I think as long as Westbrook continues to play the way that he has played, which is essentially eliminating three-point shots, minimizing his mid-range shots, and focusing on getting shots directly at the cup, then that makes the most sense. And in that regards, it does make sense to deal Clint Capella for an impactful wing player, as well as another less expensive center option that you can then go to in times where you do need a big body on guys like JaVale McGee or Brook Lopez or some of the legitimate bigs out there in the league that PJ Tucker just absolutely cannot handle by himself. I think with so much riding on the Timberwolves and their ability to acquire D'Angelo Russell, that I would be extremely hesitant if I was Daryl Morey and the Rockets front office of dealing Clint Capella to a team like the Celtics or like the Hawks with the idea that the only return you're going to get is draft capital and salary filler, essentially in the hopes that you could then facilitate a secondary trade. Because there's nothing in the NBA rulebook, at least to my knowledge, that allows you to say, oh, never mind, you know, it's basically no take-backsies, right? So if the Rockets execute a trade thinking that they then have a second trade partner lined up in the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then the T-Wolves don't have confirmation from the Golden State Warriors that they will facilitate a D'Angelo Russell trade to them, it kind of screws the Rockets, and you're left in this really crappy situation where suddenly you've given up your starting center, who obviously, yes, the Rockets are 9-1 without Clint Capella, but he's still been a very big part of this team, an integral part of this team, arguably at times your third or even in some games your second best player. And so again, to just throw that away at the drop of a hat under the guise that you may be able to improve the roster is not good enough for me. So I would not deal Capella unless it's involved directly in the three-team trade permutation that actually lands Robert Covington or some other 3-and-D wing here in Houston. So essentially a package deal like the one rumored in the Ringer article that would have landed Capella in Atlanta, the Brooklyn Nets pick in Minnesota, and then Robert Covington in Houston. That one sounds great. Or a version of that that involves the Boston Celtics. Maybe you get Clint Capella in Boston, then Boston sends one of its picks to, or even two of its picks possibly, to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then Robert Covington still lands back in Houston. And then in addition to that, maybe you can finesse Boston out of one of Daniel Tice or Semi Ojeleye to go along with Robert Covington, depending on how the salary needs to match up, things of that nature. But essentially, I don't like the idea of trading Clint Capella as a one-off. You know, okay, we're going to trade him to this one team, and then we're going to take these assets and flip them into something else, because that something else, the second part of that plan, is not guaranteed. A team could back out of that secondary deal, and then again, you are stuck with just assets, no starting center, and you still haven't improved your wing rotation. So that's kind of where I'm at this point. Now, another team that has not been rumored that I think could be a potential trade target, or trade partner, I should say, the Sacramento Kings. The Kings need a legitimate starting center. They're starting Bielitsa at center right now. That's not, and Bielitsa is well past the target age range for the young Sacramento Kings. He's 31 years old in the final year of his contract, and he does not fit with what they're trying to build over there with, again, another one of these young teams that Clint Capela would fit in well, or fit in well with, that he could then grow and become a big part of that team moving forward. So in my mind, the Kings as a one-to-one trade partner represent an interesting possibility, because that gives you a chance to potentially get back a guy like Rashawn Holmes, who gives you a guy that is essentially producing maybe about half of what Capela does, but on like a third of the salary. So maybe there's a possibility out there for a trade that involves Rashawn Holmes, Bielitsa, and then maybe Bogdanovich. That might be a stretch, but imagining a trade involving those three guys as well as Capela plus filler, that doesn't necessarily net you the 3-and-D wing defender that you want. Now, Bogdanovich isn't necessarily a bad defender, and he's a pretty darn good three-point shooter. Bielitsa is a phenomenal three-point shooter who gives you a guy that you can play with a little bit of height at the five spot, who can hit the three ball at a really consistent clip. I want to say he's shooting over 40% from behind the arc this year. And then on the flip side, you also get Rashawn Holmes, who is a guy who can kind of slot in. He's 6'10". He gives you a little bit of size. I mean, that sounds like an interesting deal. It's just, what would the Kings want out of that? Because let's face it, they're going to have to decide if they want to pay Bogdanovich this upcoming summer. So are they willing to pay him, or do they want to move him at the deadline and the Rockets get a half season of Bogdanovich and decide, okay, maybe this is worth it? Now, is that worth Clint Capela and just one first rounder? Would it need to be two first rounders for that many pieces? Obviously, you'd probably have to throw Nene in there for salary matching numbers if you do a complete package of those three players altogether. But even just those three names in maybe some other three-team deal permutation, I really like the idea of Bielitsa for the sheer fact that he's a guy that can slot in at the four or even as a small ball five, kind of what he's been doing for Sacramento, and space the floor. Because that's obviously what the Rockets have decided that they want to go all in doing. They want to space the floor. They want to get out in transition. They want to be able to switch everything on defense. Now, Bielitsa doesn't play into that aspect as much, but they still need guys who can shoot the ball. They still need a little bit of size. So I'm up for the Robert Covington trade. I think at this point it's a long shot given the fact that the Timberwolves are so hung up on D'Angelo Russell. So I don't really think the Roko trade is going to come to fruition. And again, I don't think John Collins is in the cards, because it doesn't seem like a great deal for Atlanta to give up Collins and draft capital just for Clint Capela and filler past that, because that's what the Rockets would probably be asking for. Is they'd probably be asking for John Collins, a draft pick, and then salary filler to match up with Clint Capela. There's too many different reports coming out right now, and things will start to narrow down as the trade deadline approaches, which will be 2 p.m. Central Time, so 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central Time here in Houston, when this trade deadline occurs. And it's going to be a wild ride up until the very end of the trade deadline. So all we can do at this point is speculate, but it seems like the rumors are too strong for Clint Capela to remain a Houston Rocket. Because in the past, his name's been thrown around a lot. Yeah, we talked about that earlier. But this time it just feels different. It really feels like Daryl Morey is making a push to get Capela out of the door onto another team and to get back the assets that he needs to be able to bolster this roster headed into the postseason. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Obviously, there's still a lot of big questions, but as it stands, Clint Capela is still a Houston Rocket and will be for at least a few more days. We'll see. Well, I can't even say a few more days. A trade may happen any moment. A trade could happen before I publish this podcast, which would be rather upsetting. But if it happens, we'll get an emergency podcast up. That's what we do here at Locked On Rockets. But I think for this episode, this is where we will wrap things up. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what we do here at Locked On Rockets, if you want more content before our next show, follow me on social media. I'm on there on Twitter at JT Gatlin. The show is also on there at Locked On Rockets. We also have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. There's the website, LockedOnRockets.com. And of course, our email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those are different avenues for you to consume content about the team, ask me questions, reach out, whatever you want to do. But like I said, this is where we will cut things off for today. As always, thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope to have you back again very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.